Support for the Financial Samurai podcast and the following message comes from Wonder Capital, the easiest way to invest in large-scale solar energy projects across the U.S. With Wonder, you can help finance renewable energy projects while earning up to 7.5% annually. To get started, visit wondercapital.com/samurai, S-A-M-U-R-A-I. Wonder Capital, where impact investing meets capitalism. Hello, everybody. It's Sam from Financial Samurai. And in this episode, we're going to talk about what we are saving and investing so diligently for. After all, saving money is the foundation of personal finance, and saving and investing are the two things we all must do to achieve financial freedom sooner rather than later. It's a good time to reflect why we are saving and investing so diligently. We should do this maybe once a quarter when we review our finances to see whether our net worth is properly allocated, to see that we are making progress in terms of our net worth growth, and to see if we should make changes in our lives in order to achieve our goals. So I'd love for everybody to really think about what they're saving for in this episode. And I'm going to share with y'all what are some of the things we're saving so aggressively for, despite having left work in 2012 and being able to survive as unemployed parents for over 6 years now. You know, nothing is ever a guarantee. And I really realized this after working in finance for so long. You know, just when you think things are really, really good, the markets take a crap on itself and things roll over and people get laid off and blown out of the water and people lose their houses and so forth. Just when you think things are amazing, you have like this blown water pipe in your house because it froze over during the middle of winter, flooding your basement, ruining all your furniture. And hey, here's another $20,000 bill. So the life we all know is not really for certain, and therefore we must diligently save. Since graduating from college in 1999, I've been very motivated to max out my 401k and save as much as possible because I knew there was no safety net. My parents drove an 8-year-old Toyota Camry. That was the nicest car they ever wanted to buy. They worked government jobs, which paid fine, but it wasn't like they were rich or anything. And we lived in a cozy townhouse. It was, I think, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, and there was 4 of us. So it wasn't like we were living large at all. And my parents worked until their 60s. So after they paid for my sister to go to college, I knew there wasn't that much left for me. And therefore, I decided to go to public school that cost $2,800 a year in tuition. So just in case I graduated and had nothing to show for, I could pay it off with a minimum wage job at McDonald's, which I was working at for $4 an hour when I was in high school. The funny thing I realized was that ever since leaving the workforce in 2012, I have not stopped saving money. You would think that I left because I had enough money. I did. I had about $80,000 in passive income, which is enough to live an okay lifestyle in San Francisco. Not an amazing one, just okay. But I continued to save as much as possible. Savings became part of my DNA and I just couldn't quit it. So I just wanted to share with you some of the things that I'm saving for as a 41-year-old father now, to give you guys some ideas why you should continue to save no matter what. So I think there's 10 things. Maybe I won't talk about all 10, but here goes the first one. I've got a family to provide now. Life was relatively easy financially when it was just my wife and I. We could adjust our spending down if necessary. We could find freelance part-time work if we needed extra money or if we needed people to hang out with. Now that we have a baby boy, we have fixed costs that must be spent every single month in terms of food, clothing, going out, babysitting, whatnot. And we have much less time to do anything outside of childcare and outside of Financial Samurai. Both of us, we spend all of our days taking care of our little one and also writing. So that leaves the remaining time to try to enjoy life a little bit in terms of going out, playing tennis, exercising, seeing friends, and so forth. The other thing is that my wife no longer works. She stopped working in 2015. And I remember that year I felt a little bit more stressed because I was like, oh, okay, we're really doing this. There's no safety net. It's just she and I, and we've got passive income and we've got Financial Samurai. So I felt that pressure. And then once our son was born in 2017, with her still not working, of course, that pressure increased. 2, paying for college. I have no doubt in 18 years,
In 2035, the all-in cost will rise to $125,000 to maybe $150,000 a year. I mean, that's nuts. And imagine if he goes and spends 5 years because he's taking the super senior route. I mean, we're talking $500,000 to $700,000 just for him to attend college. And that is $28,000 to $36,000 a year in savings that we must save just to afford that. Now, hopefully he can get merit scholarships or he can get into a fantastic state school, which is not as expensive. But it's good to not count on our kids being so smart because it's just going to leave us up for disappointment and we're not going to save and invest as much. So if you have a sub-3-year-old, sub-5-year-old, you've really got to save about $25,000 to $40,000 a year. Sounds nuts, but that's reality if you don't want him or her to be bagged down with student loans. 3, affordable housing in the future. Think about it this way. In San Francisco, the median home price is about 1.5 to 1.6 million. If prices grow by just 3% a year, which is totally reasonable, for the next 24 years, the median home price, which is a very average 3-bedroom, 2-bath home, is going to cost $3.25 million. Think about that, folks. The median is 3.25. I believe it. It's just math. It's just inflation. So if you don't have a $650,000 to $750,000 down payment to buy the median $3.25 million home in San Francisco or New York or Toronto or Vancouver or London, Paris, whatever it is, it's going to cost you like $8,000 to $10,000 a month to rent your place. And if you want to follow the advice of not spending more than 1/3 of your gross income on rent, you're going to have to make $25,000 a month. And that seems kind of aggressive, but hopefully inflation will just inflate that away as well. So once you have housing squared away, everything else gets a little bit easier, actually much easier. Think about it. If you didn't have to pay for housing or had subsidized housing or had reasonable housing, you know, where you're not spending more than 30% of your gross income on rent or a mortgage, you can pursue your interests. You can go to a city that is a high cost of living city to work at that job that might not pay as well, but it's what you really, really want to do. 4, car maintenance expenses. I haven't had too many car maintenance expenses because I bought a brand new Honda Fit 4 years ago under lease, and that was all covered. And then I bought a 2015 family car under warranty until 2018. But right now is 2018, and that warranty is going to run out. And so the cost of repairs for this SUV is going to be like $1,000 to $5,000 a pop, and I'm anticipating something to break. I mean, just replacing 4 22-inch mud and snow tires and brakes looks like it's going to cost like $3,000 to $3,500. 5, property taxes. Although I got rid of $23,000 in property taxes by selling one of my main properties last year, I still got $16,000 a year in property taxes for my primary residence, almost $10,000 a year for my SF rental condo, and about $5,000 a year for my Lake Tahoe vacation property. So is this a good problem to have? Actually, no, not really. I'm talking about spending $31,000 a year just in property taxes. I mean, that is a sustained wealth tax that is like $50,000 a year in gross income you've got to earn to pay for that. And so if I think about it, man, that could be used to pay for education or save money for education. So for those of you who have multiple properties, really think about this wealth tax that's ongoing, that's going to continue to increase, and see what is the optimal amount of property portfolio you should have so that you feel like you're getting your money's worth for the taxes that you pay. 6, home maintenance. We all know that besides property tax, things are always breaking. We're talking about leaky roof. You got to replace that every 15 years or so. That's $15,000 to $20,000. You got to paint the exterior of the house every 10 to 20 years. That's another $15,000. HVAC unit, you know, water heater, all that stuff. These things continue to break and they're going to continue to cost money. 7, the possibility of having a second child. You know, this is something that we're starting to think about more. My friend said, hey, at about 18 months, you're going to start thinking about a second child. And that is, I believe it. That's exactly when we feel that we can finally come out of the whirlwind of the first year and say, maybe that wasn't that bad. Maybe that wasn't that hard. I mean, it's funny because we forget how difficult it is. So if we have a second child, whether we have a biological one or we adopt or foster one, the cost will increase by $1,000 to $5,000 a month, depending on the age and time the second child comes. 8, a Hawaiian dream home. I've been thinking about this for a long time, and this is probably the biggest expense, frankly. You know, we'd love to have a 10,000 square foot flat lot near the beach, but unfortunately that's going to cost, I don't know, $3, $4, $5, $10 million. I mean, you can go up forever. And, you know, if we want to purchase that in the next 5 years before our son goes to kindergarten in 2023 or 2024, that's like $600,000 to $700,000 a year in savings if we're starting from zero. So that's quite aggressive. 9, we need insurance that neither my wife or I will ever have to go back to work again. Well, not again, at least the first 5 to 6 years of our child's life. According to all the books we've read, and we've read every single book there is on child development and child care, the first 5 years is fundamental. You know, you have the development of cognitive abilities, development of gross motor skills, personality, bonding, all that stuff. So we figured, you know what? We've got to make this work for 5 years. Let's not mess this up because we've worked too hard and saved too much to get here at this point. It took a long time for us to have a baby, and this is our time now. So we want to make the most of it with our financial independence. I know many of you guys are thinking, career or family, how do I choose? And a lot of people are torn between, you know, having to do good work and having to be a good father or mother. And it really hurts a lot of times because you never feel like you're doing good enough in either work or childcare if you have to do both. And I just got to say, look, the most you have to really sacrifice is probably around 3 years, because at 3 years, your child can go to preschool and then you can go back to full-time work. And if you're out of the workforce for 3 years, it's not the end of the world. People will be like, oh, you spend time raising your child. Sounds great. You can continue to keep up with your skills and the news and the knowledge. And I think you can hit the ground running when you go back to full-time work. 5 years, you can still do it, but afterwards, it's going to get a little bit tougher. All right, finally, number 10, why are we saving and investing so much? I think it's important to be able to comfortably provide for our parents for the rest of their lives. After all, they spend 18 to 22 years taking care of us. We should return the favor and spend the last 18 to 22 years taking care of them if they need it. Now, some of our parents have been responsible, I guess. They saved, they invested themselves, and they paid off their debt. Some even have pensions, while other parents maybe not so much. But that's where we come in. We are their insurance. I strongly believe this, and we should be there for them as they were there for us. We estimate that it's going to cost about $10,000 in after-tax dollars a month per set of parents to be able to provide excellent care for them in their advanced ages. We're talking about full-time live-in care versus sending them off to a community home, which is not what they want as of now. And we totally respect that. Who wants to go to a stranger's place where you can live in the comfort of your own home and have everything come to you? And this cost of $10,000 a month doesn't include customization work that is required at their houses. So for example, building a wheelchair ramp if necessary, installing an electronic chair that gets up and down the stairs, installing communication devices in every single room for safety, cleaning costs, landscaping costs, food delivery, transportation, and their vacations as well. It's going to cost a lot, but obviously our parents are worth it, because without our parents, we wouldn't be here and we wouldn't be the good citizens we are today. So at the end of the day, if the amount of money you're saving each month doesn't hurt, you're not saving enough. Even if you feel like you've reached financial independence, I encourage you to continue saving, and hopefully it's already been part of your DNA for all these years. The more you save, the more secure you will feel, and even if you end up with too much, there are plenty of people out there who could use your financial help. So thanks everyone for listening, and feel free to share why you are saving and investing for the future. Support for Financial Samurai is brought to you by Wonder Capital, the easiest way to invest in large-scale solar energy projects across the U.S. Experts at Bloomberg estimate that $2.8 trillion will be invested in solar energy by 2040, and that's a great thing because electricity costs have gradually risen over time. With Wonder Capital's solar investment platform, individuals can now take advantage of this economic opportunity. Visit wondercapital.com/samurai to find out how you can begin investing in solar energy projects while earning up to 7.5% annually. while also helping in the fight against climate change. Again, that's wondercapital.com/samurai. SAMURAI.
Wonder Capital, where impact investing meets capitalism.